Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You've come to the show Edge of Truth. My name is Will Gable. We're happy to have all of you again with us today. Our guest call-in number is 619-789-4304, 619-789-4304. You can call in. We'll put you on the phone tree. Our chat room is open for you all through the show. So today we have another treat here for you, going back into the near-death experience phenomenon, and we have some direct experiencers, which is a lot more higher validation than just reading about it or talking about it. And so our show today is Doors of Understanding Open When You Die. Now, that's a real good lead-in to we have Dennis Haslam.
Denver.
And Denver. Sharon Quinn here. And both these people have gone through this near-death experience and lived to tell about it. And both have their own experiences they want to talk about today. We also have some people called in here. They want to talk to them, ask questions. And you're welcome to do that, too, if you're a Blog Talk Radio Edge of Truth listener. So, Sharon, how are you today?
I'm doing great, and I'd like to welcome all of our guests and say that we are really delighted to keep sharing with people whose minds and hearts have opened to the spirit that breathes their breath and beats their heart. And death makes it clear, as Denver will also point out, that when we die, we open to who we really are. And even though we may suffer for what the damage our body may have incurred from our interesting but not pleasant experience physically, the doors that it opened in awareness that tradition doesn't really speak well to is the gift of all gifts. Is that close to what you were talking about and saying, Denver?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, it's funny because, like, you would think that dying would be something that really complicates things.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you would think because of the intensity, when in reality, it really is just it's an opportunity for oversimplification of what really matters in life.
That's right. It does simplify, and the way I kind of look at it in working with people, because mine is 40 years behind, is that what simplifies is that it becomes very, very clear that our spirit, whereas science and the world at large treats it like, you know, a maybe, a big maybe at best, or a superstition that we live with to fill in what the psyche is suffering by and for. And it's amazing to realize that what everybody else is wondering about, you now know. And it's very calming, isn't it?
It is. Well, and that was the thing. That was why I described it, for me, the feeling of dying is, it's a feeling of absolute love, but it evolves your understanding of what love actually is, because the love you feel is so unconditional. And I mean, because it is absolute peace, and that is, and it's so hard to understand that, which is why I relate it to the relationship between a newborn and the mother, you know, in that connection, because it is as pure. And I still think that that's an insult to the feeling that I felt, but it's the only thing I've been able to come up with that's even remotely close with our archaic language.
And our language is archaic, and it cannot bridge the gaps between the awareness that you get from your presence, your spirit, and the awareness
exactly
that the ego mind has, because one is absolute, and that's our presence and our spirit, and our divine nature is absolute. And that's why it's simple. It doesn't conflict with itself ever. But life does have contradictions. And it's in those contradictions that we suffer and we lose sight of the clarity of our presence, because our ego mind, that vehicle focusing on the external world, really doesn't understand absolutes because it's relative in its thinking. And that is a very confusing place.
Well, and I agree with you 100%. And it's, you know, it, but I think I think that it even goes deeper than that, because I think that the world that we live in, I think people are intentionally, what's the word I'm looking for? I think people are intentionally lessened to where they're just a number or part of like the national GDP, to where they're so enabled to be distracted that they're encouraged and rewarded for not being connected. And I think that's one of the fundamental issues. And so, you know, and I'm not surprised that people overall are beginning to open up, because they're realizing that what they're being told doesn't feel right within them. And now information is so much more readily available. And then you begin to allow people to decipher things on their own. And I think that's that creates a level of empowerment that most, that pre-generations or earlier generations really didn't have the opportunity for. And so I think there's a lot to say with that, but it's definitely happening. So it's nice.
You know, the idea of being rewarded for less is something I talk about a lot, because it's really a very key point. I'm really glad you brought it up. You know, let's just talk about even love. We are rewarded for a very drippy, unhealthy love that I'd call codependent love.
Oh, absolutely.
And we think codependency is the best love. It is like the worst thing ever. It couldn't turn love more upside down if it tried. But it looks good. It reasons well. It seems to make sense to the ego mind. Presence recognizes.
Well, that's because society says it does, yeah.
Exactly. And so that type of confusion makes it extremely difficult for people who really are thirsting and hungering for those answers. You know, I call it the existential drive, that haunting question that's all around the world, and it just keeps resurfacing. You think you find a new religion. Oh, I got the answers. I finally got the answers. Then you invest, and then you find out it's not there. And then your heart
is broken.
It's
interesting you say it.
And then you do it again.
It's interesting you say it that way. Because
okay.
it reminds me of Viktor Frankl, the psychiatrist, who was in a concentration camp victim and or prisoner. And he goes through the... He goes through the process from a prisoner standpoint and an objective medical standpoint. And to be able to see it, because it's basically his book is including the absolute universal truth. And so it's a really, really interesting perspective of what we've been discussing. And I think it connects well with what you just shared as well. And when you mentioned the codependency love, the thing for me is I don't think what a lot of people realize is just how enabled they are with it. And so I think one of the things people struggle with is how do you know the difference? And so for me, it's always been about simplifying things and getting to the fundamental root of it. And so if people are curious about, you know, how do you tell which type of love is what and things like that, I have a little tiny simple test to try and separate it out. And so what it is I say, if I am like, is this person, job, situation, food, activity, is it overall constructive or destructive to my overall well-being? And my overall well-being being related to my overall unconditional self-love and consciousness, not enablement. And so if it's overall constructive, I phase it up in life. If it's overall destructive, I phase it out. because it's a toxicity, and that's how I end up creating boundaries in my life in a progressive, constructive manner, if that makes sense.
No, it does, and I understand what you're saying, and it's a you're getting people to look at this confusion where they're picking up the contradiction, but you're getting them to ask a question that allows them to go to a thought that is more bottom line
exactly.
thinking. And there they can start to sort things out in a simple way instead of dropping down 1,000 rabbit holes trying to get to that simplicity. I like
exactly.
to use
yeah.
a similar tool. I use a similar tool that I share with students all the time because I think it's so powerful. And it's the idea of once you learn the principles, that which is truth, which is absolute. You really learn the absolutes. They'll never change. They always were. They always will be. I don't care how many thousands of years of evolution and everything we talk about. The principles never change. And
yeah.
when you get those principles in your foundational understanding, you have some great roots. And then you say, when anything occurs, two different questions I really encourage people to ask. Does this resonate or align with principle, or does it deviate? If it deviates, reconsider. You're not going in the right direction. If it's the other question is not is it right or wrong, because those are so loaded. Oh my God, those words are so loaded. What the hell do they really mean? Okay. So instead, you go to one of the basic principles of oneness and the absolute. Where is the middle point? Where is the middle point? Where is the balance point? If it's not balanced. And once you start asking that, you start drawing from your presence a whole different set of understandings because you've changed your focus to principle. Balance is principle. And when you start to say, is this balanced? It starts to open up after you go to sleep on it for a few days. No, it's not. It's too much of this or it's too little of that. And you realize in the relative world, in the world of ego, mind, and life, if you're looking at balance instead of right or wrong, you'll always realize that depending on the circumstances, sometimes it's a little bit to the left, sometimes it's a little bit to the right, but it's always hovering in a nice tight circle around the center point. And I find people like that a lot. I had somebody tell me they shared that idea with some prisoners when they were in prison, and they said it was really helping them.
Well, and I think when, and I would agree with that because the only thing, so because you mentioned learning the principles in the absolute, the issue, and so for me, one of the reasons why I view the constructive destructive is there are so many people who have yet to learn those things or even be open to those things that how do we help those individuals begin to come and start meeting us in the middle? And so for me, the question actually opens a back channel to the soul. And the way I circumnavigate certain things is people, when you begin sharing this information with people who have been, had a lot of trauma or are really uncomfortable or just not in a good place, they tend to get very defensive and things like that. And so what I started doing kind of as a loophole, what I call one of my loopholes of life to get around it, is I start challenging people to challenge themselves, where I'm not the challenger, they are. And so that way I respect their journey, but yet I'm still able to make a loving, positive impact. And so finding that balance point, like you talk about, is critically important. And I have spent most of my life trying to find that moderation and say, you know, well, most anything isn't necessarily destructive as long as it's in moderation. Like if someone goes out and has a few drinks and stuff, that's fine. It's not, I mean, whatever.
Right.
You know, I think that's part of the human experience, you know? And so it's when things get
moderation.
Overall destructive. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
And isn't moderation and balance interrelated?
It is.
Of course.
It is. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the cool thing. And instead of making it all these hoops people have to jump through, is when they start just delivered little nuggets that I like to call the golden nuggets of truth, as they start to work with them, they can start to say, it clarifies their life, and then that starts to give them a little bit more balance itself, as well as what comes with balance is that peace you talked about earlier. And peace is literally the very core of what I call happy, a happiness. I see our presence as happy naturally. And from our happiness, we can give joy to others, like sharing truth, like you were talking about. Watching somebody, their eyes light up and because they get an idea or their burden has been lifted by a nugget you've shared with them that they can plug in a useful way. They get enjoyed. They enjoy that. So we can give joy from our place of peace that is happy. You know, I think that one confusion is people chasing after happiness. How many books could you go to the bookstore and see are written on happiness? I think they almost have a happiness section in the self-help area, and it's all BS. Part because it's just trying to create this happiness, which they are. And that in itself is a big deviation from how you're going to get to the truth because you're seeking to get it when you already are it.
Yeah.
And that's sad.
Well that's and thing too is it's interesting because it's like what people, it's funny because people will look at, you know, what is considered the quote unquote the secret, the law of attraction. And they think that they can will happiness. And it's really ironic because how can you will something that you don't understand?
Disconnected from, and that you're disconnected from by the very nature that you're focused on life and suffering. Or that you have a horrible belief, the core of your being that says, I'm a sinner. Oh my God, that's the most destructive thought ever.
Well, the judgment aspect, yeah. And people not being able to accept the fact that they were intentionally made to be imperfect. And so it's like the experience is intentional. And there's a lot of loving intention behind it. And I think that's lost on a lot of people. And that's one of the things where the roadmap to the soul that I talk about kind of helps people transition. But it's interesting because when you mentioned happiness, like, I agree with you 100% because I remember when I was younger, raised in this material world and stuff, and I was still very well connected, but I was also still trying to balance in with existing and cohabitating within it. And I remember thinking to myself, happiness, that's all. I just want to be happy. And I never understood the term contentment. And I was like, well, why are people content? Why is content just okay? But the thing is the aspect that's always been missing is that word peace. When you have true contentment, you have a level of peace that I believe is unachievable with happiness, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I believe.
Denver, I wanted to ask you a question about a lot of people, they'll claim that these are absolute truths, within our observational world, but then some of the things that you saw and experienced subjectively while your body was going through all of this trauma, you felt and sensed things that were possibly, absolute, probably eternal, and it generated a lot of surety and a sense of I get the feeling that you got a lot of